This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wang Xiaoning and Ku Su Chuang. Turning our attention now to something that is taking place tomorrow, which is the Tokyo Olympics. Less than 3 days before the opening ceremony of the Olympics, the head of the Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee dropped a bombshell by saying that he did not rule out the cancellation of the Games. And this comes amid reports that more than 70 people associated with the Games have tested positive.
So the Japanese Olympic Committee chief, Toshiro Muto, has said that he will be keeping a close eye on infection numbers and holds this whole discussions if necessary. His comments contrast in particular with the IOC's president, Thomas Bach, who said on the same day that cancellation was never an option. Now, the Tokyo Olympics were meant to be an opportunity to showcase Japan, and with athletes all around the world converging, will the Games be a resounding success or a catastrophic failure?
And so for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us William Pezek, Tokyo-based journalist and a columnist with Nikkei Asia. Good morning, William. Welcome back to the show. It's always good to have you. So tell us, could the Japanese government seriously be considering cancelling the Tokyo Olympics at this stage? Or were those comments really just meant to appease a very anxious Japanese public?
I think it's the latter. I think those comments are more performative. I think in many ways, Japan might have been willing to cancel the Olympics a month ago if contractually they could do it. The IOC, based on these contracts, has all the power, right? The IOC is waiting for their multi-billion dollar payments from international television networks. And Japan is sort of, in a sense, hostage to that, because if Japan cancels the Olympics, suddenly the IOC says, okay, pay up, you know, pay up. So Japan not only deals with the soft power loss of canceling the Olympics, but the paying the tab as well. So I think Japan might have canceled if they felt that they could, but they're going ahead with this because there's no other option, unfortunately.
Well, by way of COVID SOPs, William, the government has already imposed restrictions on spectators and movement of athletes around the village. What else could the government do to ensure the Games continue, well, not just continue, but also to continue untrammeled?
Well, I mean, certainly they could do a better job of quarantining athletes. There have been some concerns from visiting athletes, from visiting Chinese athletes, that the protocols are a bit lax. And so they certainly could do that, but it's a bit late for that, isn't it? I mean, in many ways, we're already seeing a big increase in cases, actually. And, you know, when you're talking about these Olympic teams, these folks are like, you know, domiciling together, right? They're traveling together, they're eating together, they're training together, they're sleeping together. So if one of them gets infected, it affects the entire team. So it's a bit too late for that, I guess.
But let's, you know, William, at the end of the day, the Olympics is all about money, right? A lot of it anyway. Now, what's the estimated bill to the government for running it now with many of the corporate sponsors dropping off? I mean, we saw that Toyota will stop running ads for the Games.
Yeah, I'm Bridgestone as well. And a bunch of major Japanese companies are not sending their CEOs to the Games. Former Prime Minister Abe, who brought these Games to Japan, is not going to the opening ceremony. The problem is there really are two sets of books for the Olympics. Officially, Japan claims that the Games are costing about 15 billion U.S. dollars, which would put it on par with Rio de Janeiro, beyond Rio de Janeiro. It puts it on par with London, which was the most expensive Summer Olympics ever. However, many private estimates are more in the $25 billion range. So in many ways, Japan has paid hugely for this moment in the global spotlight, and it's backfiring on them because part of this investment was about pulling in tourism. Japan hoped to bring in about 40 million tourists this year around the Olympics, and that's not happening.
I mean, it really is a stark difference from what what expectations versus reality when you see those memes, what was expected of Tokyo Olympics maybe 2 years ago and the reality now.
Yes.
William, can you talk to us about public sentiment as we come to the opening ceremony of the Olympics? What are the public saying, and what do you think this has? What kind of impact will this have on Prime Minister Suga's popularity?
Well, I've lived here for almost 20 years, and I've never seen Japanese I know so angry. People are just really annoyed by the process. I think in many ways, the world is looking at Japan right now saying, is this really a good time to be holding a 80,000 person, you know, in-person global event during a pandemic as a Delta variant is tearing through society. So the Japanese, you know, it's kind of like they're a bit ambivalent in the sense that they've got this fatigue from all these lockdowns, but they're also very wary of the government taking a big risk by having this massive in-person event. So, you know, about 85% of Japanese, based on some polls, do not want these Olympics to happen, yet the government's pushing ahead anyway. There's an election coming up in October. I assume Prime Minister Suga could experience some flack then. I mean, his approval ratings are in the low 30s, which is like Donald Trump territory.
So, William, what could possibly happen to allow Suga's popularity to rise given the elections are just months away? Could it be a surge in, for example, gold medals at the Olympics, for example, or some kind of resounding success commercially for Japan?
It could be, but I think the more important issue is how the economy responds in the weeks and months after the Olympics. They're not going to get that big consumption boom. In fact, you know, hotel rooms are being canceled, have been canceled left and right in Tokyo. They're not getting the big tourism boom. They're not getting the big consumption boom. The economy is not doing terribly well because you have this new lockdown, which is hurting business and consumer confidence. And in many ways, it really is all about the economy. And the economy is not going to be bouncing back anytime soon. So if you're a Prime Minister Suga, you're not approaching this election, which has to be held by October, on a very strong footing.
And how important is Japan's vaccination program to Suga's possible success or actually loss at the next polls then? Because currently the vaccination rate is just 22%, right?
Well, very important. I mean, I received my second vaccination shot this week, finally. Japan's vaccination rate, I would say it's vastly improved, but still not great globally. I mean, you know, 2 months ago or a month ago even, Japan's vaccination rate was on the same level as, say, Bangladesh. And so now Japan is getting more towards European levels. And so that's a good thing. But Japan also now is facing supply constraints, right? Now that more and more Japanese are saying, I want to get vaccinated, they're trying to do their best to pull in more Pfizer, more Moderna, more, you know, whatever other AstraZeneca, whatever other vaccinations they can get their hands on. But, you know, it's much improved, but still not where you would expect a G7 economy like Japan to be.
But prior to this, there was a lot of news that there was a certain level of vaccine hesitancy in Japan. Has that been reduced?
Well, I mean, there is this historical tendency towards vaccine hesitancy. You know, in the 1990s, for example, there were some vaccinations that went awry. And so there is a lot of mistrust about vaccinations. This is not, in Japan, it's not so much a Facebook problem. It's more of a, you know, what's happened in Japan's past a problem. But I do think that with the Delta variant coming, people are taking a deep breath and realizing that this is different and we need to get vaccinated. So there has been a surge in people looking for reservations for vaccinations. The problem is the supply constraint. So we'll see how the government does balancing those two.
All right, William, thanks so much for weighing in on this today. That was William Pezek, columnist with Nikkei Asia based in Tokyo, talking about what's at stake for Prime Minister Suga on the eve of the Olympics.
Poor guy, lah. I mean, he's in a lose-lose situation, right? He's what you might, well, he's in what Joseph Heller might call a catch-22. He's damned if you do and damned if you don't, right? I just saw on Bloomberg, 1 million hotel bookings cancelled on the eve of the Olympics. I mean, that is just catastrophic. Do you know what I mean? I mean, big hotel chains can survive because they've got the cash buffer. Small guys, they can't.
I think Japan is in a very tight spot, right? The
Hugely.
Olympics Games was supposed to kind of catapult them onto the global stage again. And everybody remembers the success of the 1964 Tokyo Games.
That's right.
And this clearly hasn't started well. There are even question marks whether the first soccer match between Japan and South Africa, whether the South Africa side can actually field a full team of 11 players due to coronavirus.
That's true. I do feel a lot for the athletes who unexpectedly contracted COVID upon arrival there. I do feel bad for the Japanese as well, considering all they had hoped for this Olympics. I mean, you know that the big broadcasters will still get their sponsorship money, but a lot of the local sponsors who are banking on this really lose out.
You know, the Japan Olympics was, you know, we could feel the effects even in Malaysia years ago. Remember furniture makers were seeing a big jump in share prices about 3-4 years ago?
Yep.
Because, you know, they had to supply all kinds of materials.
Because there was a building boom.
That's exactly right. In anticipation of this year's Olympics, now, ayo.
Well, COVID-19 has disrupted many
everybody.
Things. Everybody in every way, right? So it's been I think, a real shock. But at the moment, I mean, there's a poll, the Asahi newspaper, they said 68% of respondents expressed doubt about the ability of the Olympic organizers to control the infections, with 55% saying that they don't want the games to go ahead. And I don't know whether this is going to then be reflected in how Suga and his party performs in the upcoming polls.
All right. Well, you know we're going to be discussing this for the next 2 weeks as the Olympics take place. So, you know, stay tuned for that. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.